Thank you so much, Lak Yong. Thank you, Lak Yong, for service leading, and Angel for song leading. And a very good morning to one and all. Wow, this is a very big number of faithful men and women. Well, all the rest of them abandoned us. But in all seriousness, we do pray that they have a blessed time, just as I pray that we will have a blessed time this morning. Now, for the benefit of those who perhaps wasn't here last weekend, I spoke about rest from the Old Testament, specifically three books from the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, right? And in essence, God gave us the blueprint of work and life balance. 6 days work and 1 day rest. Not only because we need the rest, but also so that we can take this day and worship Him for our ultimate rest and deliverance through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so this is very important for us to be at the back of our mind, right? God's blueprint of work and rest balance. And so the three lessons that were drawn last weekend from the book of Genesis would be: rest is to have a deep relationship with God. God created the world beautifully. It's for us to enjoy not only His creation, but to worship the Creator. Secondly, from the book of Exodus, rest is to trust the providential God. Why so? Because after being rescued from Egypt, they were grumbling. Grumbling why? Because there's no food, there is no water. And so in that sense of the word, they became faithless and doubting God to provide for them the basic necessities in life. And third, from the book of Deuteronomy, rest is remembering God's saving act. We are no longer slaves, and so we shouldn't live like slaves. And so that will be the three lessons that we have learned last weekend. And this morning, we will be looking at rest from the New Testament. And there are many passages about rest here. And like last weekend, the three Bible verses that we have read, opening the responsive and even now, just before I came up, those would be the Bible passages that I will explore and expound a little bit here. And so, have you read the Straits Times on April 23rd? One report read as 63 teachers overworked to death in Japan in a 10-year period. Now, some 63 public school teachers in Japan died of overwork over a 10-year period. The Mainichi Shimbun newspaper has reported, making the first time that this data is being made public and putting greater scrutiny on the long hours faced by the country's teachers. Now, cases of death by overwork, there is even a term for that. Cases of death by overwork is known as karoshi, right? And have often made the headlines, putting the country's notorious overtime culture under scrutiny. The data covered the deaths of teachers and local education board staffers who succumbed to brain or heart conditions or committed suicide over mental health issues due to overwork. This is not to frighten all the teachers in our midst. Now, according to the paper, in the academic year from 2007 to 2016, there were 63 certified cases of death by overwork out of 92 applications, which you can see on the slide. And so, but not only teachers are affected, and as reported, Japanese broadcasters NHK revealed that a 31-year-old reporter at this news agency, she died of heart failure in her sleep after clocking nearly 160 hours of overtime in the previous month. Meaning to say, she worked about 15.5 hours a day. She's cramming 2 days into 1 day. And that's how much the kind of pressure that the Japanese face. And in 2015, a rookie at an advertising giant leapt to her death after being subjected to a grueling schedule at her workplace. Now, all this in one same report. Now, it may seem that the number is small as compared to the national death rate. But are you right in the mind? How can we measure life in terms of percentages? And by the way, 63 deaths out of 92 over a 10-year period is high in any case. Why? Because it's one death or 6.3 deaths in a year due to overwork is too many to accept. Are we talking the same thing here? Or even thinking the same? It is lively. We're talking about life here. Precious, beautiful, God-given, and created in His image life. Now, quoting the Gospel Coalition Australia, yeah, I do picked up a pretty good habit of reading things of God during my sabbatical, in case you all ask me what I do with my free time. And it says here, overwork is heart hardening, literally. People who are driven and work long hours are more prone to developing atherosclerosis, that is, hardening of the arteries. And so this priest by the name of Thomas Merton, who is a religious order of the Catholic faith, he said this, the fact that our works are done in the service of God, so we move from teachers to the general public of people in Japan. Now, this person is quoting about the pastorate, right? The clergy. The fact that our works are done in the service of God is not by itself enough to prevent us from losing our interior life if we let them devour all our time and all our strength. Work is good and necessary, but too much of it renders the soul insensitive to spiritual values, hardens the heart against prayer and divine things. It requires serious effort and courageous sacrifice to resist this hardening of the heart. And many of us are permanently stuck in this decline mode, hurrying and hustling ourselves to the next task and leaving little time to ease off and recharge. Happens even to the best of us in the pastorate. So are we any different as Singaporeans? Hands down, if you agree. You all agree. Thank you so much. Now, I remembered once a preacher remarked accurately that we are becoming Russians. Got it? We rush here, we rush there. We become Russians, you know. Be very careful. Now, my guess is that in every city living, resonate the same high-speed kind of living. Busyness takes the pride and center of life now. It is put on a pedestal for others to see how working hard and long brings about prestigious education, promising career, and a prominent status. But to what end, my dear friends? To what end? To the detriment of experiencing physical fatigue, mental meltdown, and emotional exhaustion? And in the context of faith, our busyness causes spiritual separation from desiring God. So we don't have to be mad, dashing like a headless chicken, without a sense of direction, without a sense of purpose, without a sense of meaning to life and living. And so let us look to God's work for answer to our this crazy life. Let's read together again Matthew 11, 28, 30. It says, come to me, all, read together. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word come here is a language of what? The word come is a language of invitation. Invitation to what? Very obviously, invitation to rest. How often we missed an offer of relief and even refreshment? Is it any wonder that we find rest in a restaurant? or even rest in restroom. These are two things in life that we cannot do without. Can you? Guess not, right? We have to eat sometime, even if it is one meal a day, no matter how busy you are. And holding on for too long is no good for our bladder, at least the doctors tell us, because it may cause stones to develop over a long period of time. To do without both is physically bad for one's health. Agree? Agree lang, huh? But at least this time you don't go to the toilet. However, Jesus invites to rest in this context is much more than physical rest. Well, that may be also true, but it is an invite to rest spiritually in Him, the rest giver. So if I'm to ask you, how often you took time to do the things of God, that is, things spiritual, considered, what would your honors to goodness answer be? Now I'm just second guessing. Well, apart from the exceptionally few, most would think it is not effective to your already busy life. Now you don't have to answer, because I know I am right. That's when we misplace priority, and that's why life takes a toll and we become depressed. We break down. We give up easily. We take our own life. Sad, ain't it, if it ever comes to that in our life. Look at the one, the invited list. Who are the ones that is in the invited list? The weary and the burden. The invitation doesn't include those who had found their self-will, their self-satisfied, or their self-righteous. Instead, Jesus invites the tired, the drained, the exhausted, those that really yearns not to be essentially free from life's responsibility. Hear me correctly, right? Those that really yearns not to be essentially free from life's responsibility where work is necessary, but free from the spirit of heaviness to being free in the spirit of Jesus Christ. That's where we get the likeness in life, or likeness of life. Yes, Jesus did promise rest. Yet, following, he said what? Take my yoke upon you. Now, this seems to suggest that life goes on, right? Life goes on, and life can go on only if you take up the invite to come to Jesus, the rest giver, to lighten your load. And you know what? That yoke there is an instrument for, that yoke there, right? It is an instrument for work. It is a wooden frame that is placed upon the shoulders in order to make a load or a burden easier to carry. It is designed to distribute the weight in equal proportion to both sides of the body. And do you see the paradox here? What yoke is comfortable and what burden is light? It will be a burden. It will be wearisome only if we are apart from Jesus Christ. So one commentator actually mentioned that though the yoke is equally distributed in terms of its weight, but the one carrying, the one at the to your right top corner, there's one says the teacher, we assume that is Jesus, there's one says the student. So I don't know how many of you who have watched Caesar Milan. You know who is Caesar Milan? Caesar Milan is only known to the dog lovers, right? Although he doesn't use a yoke on the dog, he is a dog psychologist. And what he does is, he corrects dog bad behavior, right? And so he used to have a very seasoned and mature dog, a pit bull, in fact, called Daddy. And Daddy is really well-trained and very obedient. And so to get the weaker dog, right, to be corrected of his behavior, Caesar will tie the leash of the dog to his own dog, Daddy, which is more seasoned, which is more stable, which can help to instruct and even to guide the weaker dog. Now, that is an idea we have today, but back then, the idea of a yoke, it is actually Jesus helping to carry that yoke of yours so that that burden is not solely on you. And so, the burden here, or for that matter, the yoke here, right, it means here, it means that Jesus doesn't promise escape from reality, but he promises the right equipment to deal with it. What he promised is he promised a yoke. But what is his yoke? You may ask. His yoke has something to do with his teaching. And how do we know that? Because the following verse, he adds this phrase, and learn from me, in verse 29. So he got to have to do with something about the teachings. And so the invitation here is for us to draw deep or drink deep the words of Jesus, the promised rest giver. Rest, to recharge the spiritual life, puts power in our physical life. Make sense? For oftentimes, we have this order the other way around. So remember, 6 days you can work. You can work for 15.5 hours a day if you want to. But one day, you need to just drink deep and draw the power of life just by communing with Jesus Christ, the rest giver. And so the biblical yoke or burdens in this case has a likeness to them because they have been graciously offered by Jesus as gifts to help us, given from the mouth who is indeed in every way gentle and lowly in heart, one who has carried himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross. Remember that? Take my yoke means you'll be working. You'll be walking, you'll be moving forward, you'll be carrying what Jesus tells you to carry, even your own cross. Life might be uncomfortable, life might be hard and trying, but ironies of ironies, walk my way and you'll find rest, the refreshment that comes with forgiveness, the renewal that comes with the purposeful living, the rest that comes from working for Jesus. In the bigger context of Matthew, it starts with what? Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. So that is the greater, bigger context of Matthew. And his teaching here is consistent. So to take the one day out of seven to commune with God and his word and his work of salvation to others, to love family, to comfort the discomforted, to enjoy the joy of just having life. When do we stop? Cease and rest for all things that is good in Jesus. And so this week, or shall I say last week, since Roman calendar, today is the first week of the first day of a new week. Well, anyway, this week while I was preparing for this talk, I received a few calls requesting for my presence and prayer for comfort, for assurance, and encouragement. One was to attend to a lady who received sad and sudden news of a beloved husband passing. I was to meet her and her supportive employers at the airport on short notice. Another request was made by the grandson of a lady to come by the house to pray for his grandmother's condition, not to recur. Also for healing after being discharged from hospital. I ended up praying for his grandmother, his mother, and himself, all with different requests. Might as well, since I'm there, I might as well just pray for everybody. Yet another request to visit and pray for the very sick sister of his sister's friend. Oh, this is very complicated. This message came actually from this guy who is in church camp. And to say that the sick is a Buddhist. Then I get a call asking me whether a person can remarry after marriage has been annulled for non-consummation or not. And best of all, he was the one who's quoting the Bible to me. I guess he's looking for a validation, right? To be involved in another relationship. And with all that is going on, I became very kanchiong. My heart went kadabu kadaba. You know why? Because I still haven't started on my sermon. If only you were near enough, you would have felt it, you know. So what's my point here? Precisely that Jesus invites us to put meaning and purpose back to our life and living by taking his yoke, his teaching, his gospel of salvation to bring comfort to the sick. Because Christ came not for the sick, right? No? Yes? Yes. Christ came for the sick, but not for the healthy. So I'm reminded, and if I might add, it brings me great comfort when I was walking past the parade, the parade square, and I saw big bold wordings of, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You have seen this sign here or not? People of Bishan. Big bold letterings, at the where Mandarin Ministry meets at that building. And it put a smile on me to know that the Lord is talking to me. Is he inviting you to? So rest is to carry Jesus' yoke. Moving on, let's read together Hebrews 4. For if Joshua had given them rest together, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. No one will fall by following the example of disobedience. So somehow we see, after responding to the invitation of rest in Jesus, it seems that rest is still pretty much elusive. Reason being that there is a difference between the primary experience of rest and living a life of rest on this side of heaven. And so this is precisely the situation was true to the believers where this writer of Hebrews was addressing. And mind if I met at it is not addressing just them, but also us too. Now, their experience of Christ was not living up to expectations. Instead of rest, there was big-time temptation to revert back to their old beliefs, to their old practices. There was uncertainty in their faith, and there was doubt in their hearts. The timeliness of this reminder mustn't be taken lightly, as the expected rest for God's people still stands current. They felt they were being shortchanged, but the rest God offers is an open invitation till today. However, the kind of rest that is mentioned here in verse 9 is different in the sense that it extols worship, not simply rest per se, meaning it is not the strict observance of the day of the week, in which case, for the Orthodox Jew, is on Saturday, and for us Christians, on Sunday. Or is it a land rest from wanderings, or rest from oppressors? The phrase Sabbath rest, or it's called Sabbatismos, in verse 9, has a totally different nuance to it. Now, according to commentators, it means not cessation of work, but celebration expressed in the worship of God. And so this describes God end time rest, eschatological rest, at the consummation when Christ returns. Because this rest restores God's original intent from his resting from creation. That God should have joy in communion with humanity, and we have rest and worship God in his glorious presence. In that cool, in that worthwhile waiting for. Now, this can only happen through faith and obedience, unlike the people of Joshua's time when they disobeyed and rebelled against the command of God through Joshua. And that's why only Joshua and Caleb entered the promised land. And the call to make every effort to enter that rest is a little bit oxymoronic, right? You rest or you make every effort? If you rest, you rest. Like, why you make every effort some more? Right? Well, it's actually another way of saying, hey, my friends, the believers of Jesus Christ, life is not all that bad when you know your final destination. You just need to hang in and hang on to the promise of a best place with the best person to come. That is looking really far. And here the warning is, let us be careful not to give up too easily. Let us be unflagging with this faith of ours. Let us rest on what has already been done by God and rest in the finished work of Christ on the cross. The offer of a better rest as we await his sure and certain return to celebrate and to worship God. And when I read this, the song by Michael W. Smith came to mind, The Heart of Worship. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus that matters. Here we see. So rest, in this case, rest is to celebrate God. Rest is to celebrate. Insofar, I'm seeing faces that, huh? How come this rest got to work? This rest got to celebrate? How come not resting lepak like that? Wait lah, slowly. Okay. That will come when Jesus returns, okay? For now, we understand rest from these few Bible passages so that we don't lose hope, so that we don't turn weary, so that we are not directionless, so that we are not hopeless, that we can still have hope. Last, let's read together Revelations 21:1-4. Then I saw the new heaven and the new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What is elsewhere called rest for God's people is here described as the new heavens and the new earth. It also depicted as a return to Eden. The Messianic Jews and us are looking forward to this final and full rest. Following from the idea and ideal of worship and praise expected of an obedient follower with this promise-keeping God is to return to when God created man and woman. He created man and woman good to rule and good to work before sin gatecrashed and overturned the good relationship between the Creator and His creation and our good rule and our good work. Now, Revelation holds the promised answer to our fleeting and temporal rest here on earth. How so? By the creation of the new heaven and new earth. And I think it means that the old order of the upturned world caused by sin, instigated by Satan, would no longer hold any power anymore. The absence of sea is important here. The absence of sea, this is how we understand that there will be peace and order as the ancient Near East folks would have understood. Just as in Genesis account, when God's Spirit hovers over the darkness of the deep, as the waters was understood to be. Then God takes over as a husband to his long-awaited beautiful bride to care and to commune with her, as was in the beginning of creation, as when Jesus, the Word, made flesh and made his dwelling during his incarnation, and now to consummate that marriage with celebration and ends all that is not of God. It has been long enough that God gives creation time to be on the mend. And so the author of Revelation describes the new creation not only to satisfy our curiosity about the future, but to comfort us about the eventual change in the nature of this world. So the passing of the old and making of the new things include the end of sorrow and its causes, especially death, and the tiredness and exhaustion and the fatigue all included. The reality of which believers in this present time would have experienced and have a foretaste of it. Isn't it comforting to hear, to know, and to understand that the severity of living resulting in death, it all comes to a stop with the new world order of God's doing. In this sense, then, our rest would be final and full without the badness of sin-stricken life, of death, of mourning, of crying, or pain. They're not able to rest could manifest this side of heaven. And so the challenge here basically is to tell us rest is communion with God, for God made his dwelling amongst men. And so, in application from these three passages that we see of rest, is the rest to carry the yoke of Jesus, yes, to rest to celebrate God and rest to commune with God. How does it affect us today? Well, the first one, rest to carry Jesus' yoke. Remember from the Matthew passage that we are to stop long enough to consider the goodness, the graciousness of God. And that's where we draw deep, we take time out, we relate and commune with this God, and personally consider where you are in relationship to God. And before you do any work of the Lord, please know the Lord of your work, which we often hear this in ARPC. Practically, in your busyness, you got to practice daily devotion. Pray worshipfully at the beginning and the end of the day, whether by yourself or with your family. And pause from reading on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, texts. It's very interesting while I was doing this. The world is so advanced with technology, and it actually brings the world nearer to us. And it makes a lot of things convenient for us. Unfortunately, it also makes us busier, because we have all the technology at the palm of our hands. And so we cannot stop not working. We cannot not stop not checking, like I see Pastor Lak Yong now doing. I don't know what he's checking, whether he's taking notes or not, but I'm sure he's taking notes, because come Tuesday, we got to give report. But you know what I mean. Be careful of this technological advancement And that is one big part of our lives that we are to be mindful about. And rest to celebrate God from the Hebrews passage. Now, everyone has activities that give them back more. You want to, Jen, the next slide? Okay, so this is Simon Cowell, right? Simon Cowell, he says that, the recent report in a newspaper, the X Factor judge Simon Cowell has not used this cell phone for 10 months and says the decision has been good for his mental health. So, please, if you don't hear God's word, if you are following Simon Cowell, then if he says good for mental health, then it must be good for the rest of us, lah. But we know that we are to listen to God's word more than the words of any mere mortals. Next, rest to celebrate God. Everyone has activities that give them back more than they take, right? Some they cycle, some they swim, some watch movies, and some sleep in. And some just enjoy coffee, appreciation, and listening to music. And just recently, there was a show on TV, Talking Point, and they were talking about dementia. And one of the ways to slow down dementia is actually to listen to music. Why? Because when you listen to music, right, when you listen to music, somehow you will connect music at one point in time of your life, right? So when I hear Bee Gees Staying Alive, I remember it was that time I was in the army, right? I was in the army. So it brings me back. So in that sense of the word, right, in that sense of the word, it slows down dementia. So listening to music is a very good time to take time to rest. Commit to full day of rest a week. Some of us have the leisure to do that. Some of us not. But I just want to encourage God's blueprint. And coming to DG for fellowship is one as well. And also for church service would be another. How then we actually rest our spirit of heaviness, right? Lastly, rest to commune with God from the passage Revelation. How we commune with God is to set hearts and minds on things above and not on earthly things. Because the suffering here on earth is temporal. But the joy and the glory that beholds us is eternal. So in that light, we are to see far the promise God that has promised us of this eternal life. And so, in conclusion, I hope that few things would spark more from your own suggestion. But in conclusion, Christians can rejoice in the Sabbath because we have a Savior who has accomplished everything we need. Every desire that propels us towards the busyness of life has been met and matched in Jesus. And in this time, it's important for us to be saturated in heart and in mind what Christ has done for us. If resting is the deep breath out, rejoicing is a deep breath in. It is a feeling of the Spirit, not emptying of the Spirit. You hear me? If you are just emptying, then you are actually taking a vacation. You vacate. Hear me? So don't use the word, I'm going for a vacation. No. Perhaps the better word to use, I am going on a retreat. In the Christian context, this word would mean that you're going to retreat yourself from the world, from self, from busyness of life, to commune with God. So use the word. So later on, me and my family, we will retreat to Malaysia. Now that the folks are coming back. And so it's important for us to know that. It's a meditation on the grace that has saved us and a feasting on His Word. An important question about personal rest practices, whatever they are, right, is whether they pull an individual into a deeper and more intimate relationship with God. That would be one marker of your rest. You understand me? So that is very important to take note. Now, God gives the weekly Sabbath to remind the Israelites of His never-ending faithful provisions. And Jesus heals on the Sabbath to prove His ultimate dominion over all problems. And hear this. Any particular approach, whether it be attending church service like now, reading devotional or eating with friends, is not a foolproof solution. Rather, all practices afford people greater opportunities to commune with God, in whom humanity finds the deepest and most satisfying rest. So you may come to service, but your mind is not here. Your heart is not here. It's just your shallow and hollow body. That is not what God wants. You come with your heart, not with just your presence, your heart as well. That's what pleases God. That's what rest means, that we are drawn closer. Like sometimes in fellowship, we are drawn more closer because of our conversation of God and things that matters to God. So how is your walk today, my dear friend? How's your walk with God? How close are you now with God? So we may get rest even from fellowship. And that's why the DG is so important. Church services is also important because we don't just say hello and goodbye after service. We stay back. We chat. We chat about things that pertains to God, to godliness, to things that matters to God for our spiritual well-being. And so when we live here, we live this fellowship, we are all empowered to last for at least another week anticipatingly look forward to another week. You hear me? So that must be the rest that we take. It is also important to note that there are seasons in life where an individual may not be able to experience the rest that he or she might need to take. Example, who do you think will not be able to take in different seasons of their life? Mothers, new parents, right? New parents, for example, once come out only baby, you know Chinese culture, 1 month cannot go out. 1 month cannot go out, no. So where you get your rest from? Because why, you are just handling new things. The whole orientation of life takes a different twist. And for a moment, you think that baby is baby Jesus. But it's not. It's not. Of course, we must understand and be very prayerful over these people and ask after them. And so new parents cannot take a day off from caring for the needs of their infant. Likewise, I think a lot of people in this gig economy, there's a lot of people that you ask them, hey, so what are you doing? Oh, I'm an entrepreneur. Wow, big word, no, entrepreneur. Actually, it's just working for self, lah. Because you got no employees under you. So everything you got to do. So we got time for rest, right? We got time to come to church services. But you know what? In all this, there are all different seasons of our life we go through, right? Just like when we are born, then we grow up to be a teenager, then we go to school, then we work. Then after we work, we become a parent, then we become a parent. Hopefully, like me, I want to become a grandparent. My children, you hear me or not? But those are seasons in life. So new parents to baby, the babies will grow. They will grow. And when they grow, you come back. You must come back. And same for the busy entrepreneur. You start up, you do yourself, and by God's favor, your company, your business grow, you have workers for you, you come back. You recharge again. You reconnect with God's people. And by reconnecting with God's people, you reconnect with God that way. You understand? So it's very important for us to take note so that you do not need to feel guilty. That is the most important thing. Because I have seen and I've heard too many. Cannot, Pastor Jeff. I'm too long away already. I don't feel that I'm too good enough to come. Have you heard that in your DGs, in the fellowship, in the conversation that you have with people? So be very mindful not to lay on them the burden again. Because Christ already said, take my yoke. My yoke is easy. I'm carrying it for you. If He's carrying it for us, then we are not to lay it on others, the burden of human construct. So in these seasons when people are not able to rest properly, they did not feel guilty, but instead turn to God with hopeful expectation for future rhythms of rest and work. And so in closing, a reminder to all of us, a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God, both from eternal perspective and in this lifetime. Babies get older, starts up, become company, and personal practices of Sabbath change from season to season. But God, goodness and grace and love and mercy remains constant. And that's why the Sabbath rest remains today. Let us pray. Almighty God and ever-loving Father, we thank you for reminding us from your word. And let us have a glimpse of what it means to rest this side of heaven. You gave us a blueprint to rest. And also, Lord, you instruct us in how we ought to live, how we ought to take rest. And the rest may not be necessarily what we think it is, but rest is actually to be drawn deeper, closer, intimate with you. Some of us may just need that rest, take a break. Some of us, because of the personal relationship with you, can continue to be resting in you, although working. For we know, Lord, that is what it means to take rest. So help us to understand, though it may cause us to and challenge us, Lord, to really ponder and how we are to take time. We do pray for your favor in the area of our own personal practice and growth, that we will, in this time and this season of our life, be truly, deeply experience, Lord, your grace anew. So help us, even as we look to you and look towards the future promised of a full and final rest when Christ returns. In Jesus' name, amen.